You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning, Broncos country. As always, it is fun to be back here with another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best news, insight, and coverage into all things orange and blue related. Hope you guys had an amazing weekend. I know I did. Very excited about some things that are going to be here in store. A huge month here at the show. 31,000 downloads. Broncos country, you guys are killing it. You guys are the 12th man. Thank you guys for everything and all your support on Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the NFL, as well as a Broncos insider for the Locked On Podcast Network. Also do some work there at CodyRourkeNFL.com. We're launching video content, so on YouTube, if you guys go, Cody Rourke NFL, we have a lot of in-depth breakdown videos. Just did one on the AFC West, some of the storylines to monitor as training camp and OTAs approaches. So thank you guys for all your support as always. Today's episode of the show, got a big one in store for you guys. We're going to go over our daily Broncos rundown in segment number one. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Broncos offensive line in terms of the running backs and what we can see Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman do in today's first segment of the show. We also take the Broncos country to talk about those two guys respectively. And then we're also going to hit through some Broncos related news. The Broncos set to visit with a couple of quarterbacks here in the next week. One of them is not a surprise. Another one could be an underrated steal at the mid-round level for the Broncos as we approach the month of April. It is draft month. Tell you what, I'm very excited about that. Pop in draft day if you guys get a chance to with Kevin Costner. It gets you in the mood. So with that said, we're also going to be joined by Mario Vitanzi, segment number three for our well-adjusted segment. We're going to be talking some of the Broncos storylines as it pertains to this year's NFL draft. And it's going to be a good exclusive discussion with Mario, obviously a guy who does a lot of work around the Broncos, works on the Broncos players as well. So let's dive right into it with our segment of the day. Segment number one, our Broncos daily rundown. The Broncos, they are set to meet with Northwestern's Clayton Thorson here this week. Now, here's the thing with Clayton Thorson, and he's an interesting, you know, prospect in my opinion, and I know it. I know Broncos fans are thinking right now the Broncos don't need to look at getting another Northwestern product. The Broncos already did that with Trevor Siemian. You know, it doesn't hurt to maybe get a guy that is a little bit under the radar that could go mid-round, that could be a developmental piece. He absolutely could. I mean, back at Northwestern, his senior season, he completed 61% of his passes. You know, the one thing that does stand out to me a little concerning, I go back and watch more tape on him, but one of the things with him is, you know, he was almost narrowly even with his touchdown to interception ratio, 17 touchdowns on the year compared to 15 picks. It's still a little streaky there, in my opinion, throwing for 3,000 yards at Northwestern. He's a guy that could be an under-the-radar guy. There's some buzz that's been generated about him over the course of the last couple of weeks. Some teams are going to be interested in maybe seeing if he could be one of those late developmental prospects that come out of nowhere, but there's not a lot of hype on him right now. So, you know, if the Broncos were to decide to try to make a move for a player like Clayton Thorson in this year's draft, it would probably be in the third or the fifth round, in between third, fourth, or fifth round, in my opinion. That's just my guesstimation on where he would go if I was the general manager, but I'm not that guy. John Elway is. They know what they're doing, but they're going to sit down with him this week. They're going to meet with him in Chicago, more than likely, and then they will turn it around, and they will host Drew Locke for a couple of days here next week on April 7th. Now, one of the things with Drew Locke, too, and I know a lot of people in Broncos country, we've had this discussion so many times, his comparison, according to a lot of people, is Jay Cutler. I mean, the arm talent, his athletic ability, I mean, people don't realize that Jay Cutler was actually pretty good being a mobile quarterback, throwing the ball and running it. I think Drew Locke can also do the same, but, you know, Drew Locke's a tough guy that, you know, he takes a lot of punishment. He does get hit quite a bit. You don't want to have that happen in the NFL because the guys are bigger, faster, stronger. I tell you what, and the NFL rules, I mean, they might make it to where you could protect your quarterback a little bit more extensively. But ideally, Drew Locke, the one thing that really I would say perspirates off of him is his confidence and his swagger that he does have on the field. And the Broncos fans have been saying, you know, they need a quarterback with some moxie, some energy, some passion, and Drew Lock checks all those boxes, absolutely. The major concerns, though, consistency in his footwork and how that affects his intermediate to short distance throwing routes, the out routes, comebacks, hitches, slants, posts. He's got a great deep arm. I mean, heck, I can just see it right now. Drew Lock and Courtland Sutton having a great connection, but you got to be able, just like Courtland Sutton's got to do more in terms of his route running on the short and intermediate routes, I think that Drew Lock has some work to do in his throwing of the short to intermediate routes, but definitely an interesting prospect. You know, really, here's the part of the year where the NFL draft is approaching. There's so much smokescreen approaching, and you see it everywhere from every NFL team, every general manager. They're throwing out smokescreen. There's been some talk that the Broncos could move up in this year's draft. From what I've been told, there's been some rumblings of that. Will that happen, though? It really depends. Now, if the Broncos are set to get a guy like Drew Lock, look, I think Drew Lock is going to command some interest early on, and don't be surprised if the Giants have some strong interest in possibly getting Drew Lock. I mean, there is some interest there. A lot of people are talking about, well, you know, Dwayne Haskins, you know, and people are projecting him to go to the Giants. I don't see that. I don't see that as much as the wild card factor of Drew Lock possibly being on the Giants' radar. There hasn't been much talk about it, which could be a perfect ploy. But, you know, general managers this entire month will be on the phone. They'll be talking with each other, getting a vibe for what each team may do. And like I said at the beginning of the show, go watch Draft Day. That'll really get you hyped up. I'm sure there's some documentaries out there too on the NFL draft and how general managers do it. It's crazy. It's a fun time of the year. We're going to have complete breakdown and video coverage at CodyRourkeNFL.com as well as here at the Locked On Broncos podcast when the Broncos pick at pick number 10 or if they decide to move up. It's going to be one of those two. So it's going to be interesting to see. But Drew Lock, they're going to meet with him, and they're probably going to do a little bit more time sitting down with Drew Lock than they will with Clayton Thorson. And Drew Lock is a prospect guy where he could potentially be a franchise quarterback. Now, like I said, there's still concerns. But if the Broncos' approach in the draft this year is to develop a guy behind Joe Flacco, a guy who's a veteran, a guy who's been doing this for a long time, then that makes more sense than anything else. Because ideally going into this, look, the Broncos' backup quarterback right now is Kevin Hogan. The Broncos re-signed him on a one-year deal this year. Now, they also have the same exact element with Garrett Grayson as a potential third-string quarterback who would more than likely be a practice squad guy. If the Broncos draft a quarterback, then more than likely Garrett Grayson will probably be waived and released at the time. It'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out. Now, like I said, last week, the NFL draft will be played out in the manner of which, look, the Broncos, they're at 10. The only luxury they have of kind of dictating the way the rest of the draft goes for other teams is if they move up ahead of some other teams that may be trying to get maybe who they want. And look, we saw it a few years ago. John Lynch and the San Francisco 49ers, they strong-armed the Chicago Bears in the draft. And they got some first-round picks. They moved up. They got the guy that they wanted. And Chicago was worried that the 49ers were going to take the guy that they wanted. So really, it's good tactics here. But it's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. What do the Broncos really do? I mean, every indication this offseason that the Broncos have made suggests that they may go best player available. And Coach Fangio's throwing it out there in his interviews. John Elway's hinted at it. But overall, like I said, this is smokescreen season. That could be the case. It could be nothing but smokescreen. So in our daily Broncos rundown, obviously looking at quarterback of the future for the Broncos, there are some interesting prospects there. If they don't go quarterback in this year's draft, you can almost guarantee next season they will find a way to get that. There is strong interest in Justin Herbert, but will it cost too much for the Broncos to move up? The Broncos could actually trade back in terms of making next year being able to move up a distinct possibility. So keep an eye on that. If that's a storyline you want to follow out this entire season, it's possibly something that could come up. But coming up here in segment number two, we're going to analyze Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman under this Broncos offensive line with Mike Munchak and Rich Scangarello's offensive scheme. What can we possibly expect from them in the year 2019? That's coming up in just a moment. But a quick reminder, you guys already subscribe on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, but now you guys can also subscribe to Locked On Broncos on the Himalaya podcasting app. You just go to your app store, you download it, you go into the search bar and you type in Locked On Broncos, you click subscribe, and it gives you another way to listen to the show. And you can also use your smart device when you're driving in your car to say, hey, play podcast Locked On Broncos. With the Broncos getting ready to start their offseason program tomorrow, it's exciting times. It really, really is. That means we're one step closer to Broncos football. Phillip Lindsay won't participate, still recovering from that offseason surgery on his wrist. He should be ready to go by training camp. We'll keep an eye on that situation as well. But this segment here, let's talk a little bit about what Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, what their expectations are for them in 2019 with Mike Munchak as the offensive line coach for the Broncos and really kind of putting his hand and his blueprint on that offensive line that, you know, it hasn't been the strongest point of this Broncos team over the course of the last 5 to 6 years. It's been a strong suit in terms of discrepancy. Now, here's what I mean by that. Now, the Broncos, back when they had Zane Beatles and Ryan Clady and all those guys, it was effective. The Broncos offensive line, actually, back when Peyton Manning had Willis McGahee, it was very effective. They were able to get out. I mean, I remember every time the Broncos would run that screen pass with Demaryius Thomas, the offensive line, Zane Beatles would get out and haul to the cornerback, and he'd make plays on the safety. That's what really opened it up. The Broncos, I think, have the versatility now with some of the guys to be able to do that, to get Garrett Bowles out there in space, to get to the next level, to maul people. I mean, when Garrett Bowles gets his hand in between the shoulder pads of the opposing players, he can maul dudes. We've seen it. It's no secret. Now, the things that Garrett Bowles has to work on, obviously, just some fundamentals, some techniques, which is the key standpoint of what Coach Fangio wants for the Broncos team. They got to go back to basics. They can't reinvent the wheel. They got to get better at the little things in order to use those talents of those players, the tools, according to Coach Fangio, to transform them into better players. And if every single player can improve on that craft, the entire team will be good, according to Coach Fangio. I like the thought process. It's stripping everything down and building it back up. I like that mentality. The Broncos are in need of that. After going 11-21 in the last two seasons combined, they have to get back to that toughness. And I think toughness is going to start on the offensive line. Mike Munchak, arguably one of the toughest O-line coaches in all of football, well-respected across the league. He's got to make that Broncos offensive line very mean. Now, here's something I want to revisit, too. A lot of people last year were saying the Broncos offensive line was terrible. They were great in run blocking and setting up the run for Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman. They weren't the greatest in pass protection or pass blocking, okay? That's one area they have to get better at. Juwan James can provide that on the edge, I strongly believe. We'll have to see. But based on film and what he's done in the past, it could be a good move. He had a lot of success against the Chicago Bears last season. Khalil Mack and Coach Fangio sent everything at the Dolphins and Brock Osweiler, and he still stood his ground. And that's something that I'm excited about, especially in a division where you have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. You got to be able to contain those guys a little bit if you want to keep Joe Flacco upright. So here's the deal. Last season, the Broncos, their running back production was pretty dang good. Now, Devontae Booker provided the Broncos with a little bit of a role towards the end of the season in the receiving game, not as much in the running game, but the receiving game, he's big on third down. Primarily, look, I strongly believe last year the Broncos would have had 2,000-yard rushers with Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay if Royce Freeman didn't get hurt and missed a couple of games. Now, they were running wild. Go back to the Kansas City Chiefs game on Monday Night Football. Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman were dynamic. Now, here's the deal. What was frustrating last year from a standpoint of the offensive, you know, the line, the running backs, quarterback play, so on and so forth, was the discrepancy in carries. One guy would get, you know, probably like 14 carries. The other guy would get like 7. The Broncos didn't run the ball enough last year in 2018. They really didn't. That was the strong suit of their team. They tried to rely too much on Case Keenum trying to throw the ball. And here's the deal, too. Also, when you find yourself down in a football game and it's the second half, you can't come out and you can't just run, especially if you're down by 2 scores or 3 scores. The Broncos found themselves in several of those situations last season in 2018. So I can see why the running game disappeared a little bit, but there were times where the running game disappeared and it absolutely didn't have to. Go back to that Monday Night Football game. Once again, I mean, Royce Freeman, Phillip Lindsay were having a hell of a game. The Broncos decided to throw the ball rather than try to rush the, you know, run the clock out in the fourth quarter with a 10-point lead. Those are things that really factored into bad coaching and obviously a bad loss. That loss made Broncos country sick. I know there were some missed opportunities. Case Keenum throwing that cover two fade to Demaryius Thomas sailed over his head. It would have been a game winner. But the Broncos have to rely on their run game in 2019, and here's why. Royce Freeman is a power-type back that in a West Coast-style offense that Rich Scangarello has detailed, this should be what he thrives in. I mean, they ran the same exact type of scheme running-wise, offensive line blocking-wise, that they did at the University of Oregon, where he had a huge, huge career. Royce Freeman will more than likely go into Oregon's Hall of Fame one day that they have in college football. He is well-respected there. I know by being there personally, talking to people around the Oregon Ducks facility, Royce Freeman has a lot of prestige in Eugene, Oregon, and for very good reason. He was a workhorse for them. He was a workhorse for the Broncos in 2018. However, Royce kind of took a couple steps back after experiencing that high ankle sprain, and if anybody's ever played, having any type of ankle sprain as a running back, that's pretty bad. It sucks, and it's almost, I would say, as bad as having turf toe, which you don't want either of those to happen. It can affect you. Despite that, Royce Freeman had 521 yards on the ground. He had 5 touchdowns. He was a dynamic guy. Look, he could be that guy on 2nd and 1. If you have a 1st and 5, or, you know, let's say a 3rd and 1, you want a power back to go straight downhill, it's Royce Freeman. And he can also run the stretch play pretty dang well, too. So you got to factor in that the Broncos are going to get creative with their running backs. Now, Phillip Lindsay, I think coming into day one, is the projected starter for the Broncos. Obviously, that's going to have to go through training camp. There's going to be a position battle in terms of competition, who's going to be number one on the depth chart, so on and so forth. Not to discredit what anything that Phillip Lindsay did last season, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Despite him running for, you know, 1,000 yards and 10 total touchdowns, all-purpose, 9 on the ground, 1 in the air, Phillip Lindsay still, NFL teams kind of figured out late in the year that they could find a way to the game plan, and it all starts with them playing contain on the edge with their defensive ends, or if it's a 3-4 scheme, their outside linebackers, they would load the box, they'd crash the ends, they'd pinch inside the interior gaps, and they'd want to try to force them outside where they would play contain. The inside linebacker would almost play spy in a sense, and he would trail sideline to sideline. Phillip Lindsay was kind of neutralized late last season, and a lot of that goes to Emmanuel Sanders being hurt, the Broncos not having consistent enough weapons. You know, so that there's something that I look at in terms of, okay, here's what they did good at last season. What can they do better in 2019? Now, here's the thing. Phillip Lindsay has to take the next step in 2019 in the receiving game as a tailback. Far too often, you go back on film, bubble routes, swing routes, flat routes. It just almost seems like he wasn't ready for the football, so he's got to work on catching a little bit. But when he does catch the ball, sometimes it seems as if he slows up trying to catch the football. I don't know if the quarterback not getting the ball to him quick enough or kind of leading him in stride, but Phillip Lindsay is one of the fastest players in the league. We've seen that. There were times where he caught the ball and it just didn't seem like he had that breakaway speed out of the backfield as a rusher. Royce Freeman will be a guy that the Broncos can utilize in the screen game under Rich Scangarello's offensive system. He's a guy that, despite how big and bulky he is as a tailback, he is a guy that will provide them tremendous value on third down situations or anytime he's in the game. Expect the Broncos to go with that rotation there. Don't be surprised if they also go with the 3 running back rotation as well. Now, there could be the Broncos could look at potentially Bryce Love in the later rounds. Obviously, I think it would have gone a little bit quicker if he didn't tear his ACL. But the Broncos could take a chance on him late in this year's NFL draft, and just thinking about a dynamic duo between Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, and then adding in a different type of back in Bryce Love, the Broncos might have a very good stable of horses back there at running back. I do see Devontae Booker, this more than likely being his last season in Denver, if he can make the team in training camp. There's going to be a lot of storylines that we're going to cover here as training camp leads up here in July. We'll be there on the sidelines getting all the news and coverage for you guys as well. So, you know, in terms of the offensive line, we took the Broncos country and got some thoughts for them real quick in terms of what Broncos fans envision, what they hope to see them do in 2019. Derek Johnson says, I see a comparable backfield to what Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram were able to do for the Saints. Two powerful runners, but also getting Phillip Lindsay more involved in the receiving game as well. Yes, he's got to improve in that area. Ward KC63 says, honestly feel that they will finally use the two together on the field together at the same time. Dude, we've seen that package be installed before. Could you imagine a 2 running back package on the field at the same time with those two guys? You could do anything. You could fake the dive inside to Freeman. You could run pitch or toss with Phillip Lindsay to the outside. It's going to force defenses to be disciplined in terms of how they prepare for that. Adel Burton, he's a guy that covers the Steelers, says Mike Munchak is a wizard, so he's going to put his hand on that offensive line and transform it. Canadian Bronco, Freeman will have a breakout season. Outside zone is what he fed on in college. Yes. Watch film, everybody. Great observation there, David Smith. Appreciate that. Chef Baldwin, I feel they'll be even better this year. Upgrading versus renovating is how I would describe it. Last year, a motley crew of injuries and plug-and-play pieces, and the running backs did quite well. And the Scangahan, I like that. It's kind of a combination of Shanahan and Scangarello style offense will run a lot. Dave Scott says, I'm a little concerned about Lindsay. Have the feeling teams will be watching to shut him down next season, so he may not be as productive as last season. And Dave, it goes back to my point. The Broncos got to find a different way to get Phillip Lindsay utilized besides just on outside plays. We got to see more A-gap runs, B-gap runs. He has the dynamic ability. If the offensive line can create that hole to burst through, we've seen it. A little bit more consistency there and out of the backfield. And then, let's see, Young Lit says, whispers, I kind of think we need a different power back, not sold on Freeman. I think it's too early to say that, in all honesty there, Young Lit Nation, because, look, Phillip Lindsay battled some injuries, Royce Freeman battled some injuries, and unfortunately for Royce Freeman, that high ankle sprain took him out for quite some time. They need a big dynamic back like Royce Freeman, and we saw how valuable he can really be when healthy. Bronco Fanatic 97 says, I envision Royce Freeman having a breakout year in the system he ran in college and shutting up the naysayers. I also envision Phillip Lindsay leading the NFL in the most explosive runs of 20-plus yards. I like that. I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, the expectations for the Broncos and their running game in the year 2019 are very, very high. Take the pressure off Joe Flacco from having to throw for 4,000 yards, 36 touchdowns. If he does that, that's great. But let Joe Flacco manage the game and utilize a strong rushing attack and strong defense to win games in 2019. Coming up here in segment number three, we're going to get into talking about the Broncos beginning their offseason program starting tomorrow. What that's going to look like, we heard from Broncos safety Will Parks last week on Keeping It Will. He had a lot to say about why he's excited. We're going to talk about the importance of the Broncos starting a little bit early and what that can mean for their campaign to come back to dominance, to come back to competing in the playoffs in 2019. Everything starts tomorrow. Back to basics with Coach Fangio. Broncos are set to begin their offseason workout program starting tomorrow. Now, the thing is new teams that have new NFL head coaches this season were able to start today. The Broncos holding off until tomorrow to get started. We talked with Broncos safety Will Parks last week here on Keeping It Will. We talked with Shelby Harris last week as well. And they're looking forward to getting to the offseason workouts because it's just one step of building chemistry. Now, look, the Broncos have some new faces in the building. It's a good time for Kareem Jackson, for Juwan James, for Bryce Callahan, some of the new guys here to get acquainted with the culture that will be installed with Coach Fangio. Now, Bryce Callahan may have an idea of what to expect because he played for Coach Fangio already, but the Broncos are going to get together. They're going to begin offseason workouts. It's all about this time. Look, if you've ever played sports, look, you can have so much talent on one side of the field, on defense, on offense, but the question is, if you lack the type of chemistry necessary to overcome adversity, let's say in the fourth quarter, a two-minute drive, this is where it all begins. Team building and chemistry is so imperative in the realm of any type of sport. I don't care if it's high school, recreational, collegiate, or professional sports. You have to have team chemistry, especially in a game where it's 11 on 11. If one guy out of that 11 man, whether you're on offense or defense, if one teammate messes up, it can impact everybody. That is the beauty about professional football. Because it gets all these guys under one realm. They're all fighting for one common goal. One thing I'm looking forward to seeing is how Will Parks talks about that carryover effect. That the Broncos right now, if they want to reach the goals that they want to achieve in 2019 and beyond, it starts with the collective coming together saying, look, this is our goal. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to sacrifice in order to get to what we want to achieve? And that's getting back to the playoffs. It's getting in there competing, winning the division. Those are all major goals for this Broncos team right now. And rightfully so, it is in reach of them to be able to do that. Now, Will Parks said something really interesting, and it's the little things. It's the offseason workouts. It's getting everybody together under the same roof, working for one common goal. That means if one guy's going to be late, that guy needs to call the team. It's all about shared accountability. And for Coach Fangio and his new regime and the new culture he's instilling within the Denver Broncos, the expectation is simple. It is this. You will not be in a position to where, as a team, one guy will not make all these collective mistakes that will impact everybody else. It's all about accountability to the team. No guys are going to be late to meetings. Obviously, if there is, there's going to be some consequences with that, which Coach Fangio is a guy that pulls no punches. He says he's going to uphold that. He will. Now, here's the thing I love the most about it. This is an opportunity for the position group guys, more than likely, when they do offseason program workouts, they pair them up with their position groups. Obviously, Lauren Lando and his coaching staff will have everybody in line in terms of what they want for their off-season workout program, conditioning, strength-based stuff. Now, factor this too. This isn't the first time for, you know, players in the offseason. Players have been lifting and working and preparing all offseason. There really is no offseason in the NFL. You have a little bit of time, but more likely you have to train. You have to train year-round if you were going to play in the National Football League, and that's something that a lot of Broncos players are doing. That's all Will Parks does. It's what Shelby Harris has been doing. You know, you get to enjoy a little bit of time here and there, but at the end of the day, you have to be training all year long. So really, it's about building that team chemistry, getting bigger, faster, stronger, and maybe going over in meetings and position group stuff, installing different schemes, philosophy, going over the defensive playbook, and going back to the basics. It's all going to start with fundamentals. That's where Coach Fangio and his coaching staff are going to start, offensively, defensively, special teams. It's all about the little things. That's fundamentals. That's technique. That's installing and making sure that guys understand the verbiage in the playbook. They ask questions that they need it. You get some of those questions that players may run into out of the way now. It doesn't affect you, and you can run through mini camp, OTAs, and into training camp. You can be ready to go. So the Broncos, players, they report tomorrow for the offseason program and the workouts. Very excited about that, guys. I cannot express enough just how close we are to football starting up. Broncos training camp, I believe, kicks off, I think, in the mid part of July, if I'm not mistaken, around July 15th. It's going to be fun. Look, the Broncos got to repeat early just because they have that Hall of Fame game on August 1st in Canton, Ohio against the Atlanta Falcons in the Hall of Fame game honoring Pat Bowlen and Champ Bailey and the Broncos recipients this year in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, long overdue, more work. 5 preseason games for the Broncos in slate for 2019. They got their hands full, but the work starts tomorrow. And I tell you what, guys, it's going to go quickly. The summer's going to approach, and it is go time. We got a lot of cool things in store here with some very, very exciting news here in the new future. We're going to have some more pieces, video coverage, breakdown content, all things NFL, all things Broncos related at CodyRourkeNFL.com. The site will launch very, very soon. Until it does, check me out on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL, as well as the new YouTube channel, CodyRourkeNFL, where you can get every single video piece that we do here in studio on your phone, wherever you go. So click on subscribe. We're going to have in-depth coverage, working on some key pieces to get it very interactive with fans to be part of the show as well that we're going to be launching over there at the website, CodyRourkeNFL. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Mario Vitanzi will be joining us tomorrow for our well-adjusted segment. Something came up last minute. We're pushing it to tomorrow. We have a big, big talk with Mario on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos.